Representative Stubson? Excuse. Senator Burns?
Here.
Senator Hastert?
Here.
Senator Perkins?
Here.
Senator Wasserberger?
He's excused.
Co-Chairman Harshman?
Here.
Chairman Ross?
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Don. So we're live now, as I understand that. Just a couple of opening comments. As you all know, of course, I'm new to this whole committee. I haven't slept very well in the last few nights, simply because I worry about each and every one of these budget items, and each and every one of them has a constituency, and there are real needs out there. On the other side of the coin, folks, we have to be very careful here. There is not one dime that we can spend here in the next couple of days that isn't one-time money. There's no recurring money. So I'm urging you to be cautious about what you spend and whether or not it's going to be on reoccurring expenses. Because if it is, it's going to come back and it's going to double. Having said that, I will let my co-chairman make any opening comments he would like to make.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, appreciate everybody's hard work here in December and to get to this point. Appreciate staff, and we've got a lot of work to do yet. But I'd echo the good co-chair's comments. But also the fact, I always say this, I think we've really blessed, and we can really do anything in this state, but we probably can't do everything. And I think so that's where the decision's going to come down. But I would echo what the good chairman said, and that's been kind of our guiding principle on this committee is to watch the ongoing things, keep the investment going in one-time things to build this state, and we've really supported those kind of things, and when people have made the case, we've responded. And so I think, Mr. Co-Chair, also I think today we'll get a real clear picture of our revenue stream and start working from that. And as you said, it is all of it is these one-time monies, mainly from reversions from Senate File 70, that is really going to help fund our budget moving forward. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the first thing that we had decided that we would do today is to consider exactly what revenue we know is out there and deal with that first, and then we'll move to marking up the budget. So, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion then on Governor's Letter 1.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And if I could, members, if you can find that Governor's Letter 1. And, Mr. Chairman, members, you'll recall that this was really about the revenue forecasting. Page 1 was about the October Craig.
Right.
And then page 2 showed the January Craig.
Huh?
And then, Mr. Chairman, page 3 talked about revenue options. And, Mr. Chairman, my motion would be really to adopt and amend the governor's letter number 1. And on page 3, members, where I'm particularly looking, and I think, first of all, I think there's one item that's left off this, and that's that $44 million that is set to move to the LSRA on June 30th, and I call that the natural gas bump from last winter. And that is not on this list. So, Mr. Chairman, I would move this list with the addition of that $44 million. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to divide this then into three kind of categories, what I'd call the immediate kind of revenues, monies that we have right now in hand, and I think that would include then, Mr. Chairman, about $240 million if you add up the $140 in reversions, the $44 in the natural gas bump I talked about, and the $34 in the 13-14 reversions.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's, and then the 21 and the SIPA, and that gets us to the 240. Is that my math right, Don?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, that would be in the immediate needs column, the available now, obviously the biggest need is the $222 million budget hole. That has to be filled. And then, Mr. Chairman, the second part of the motion would be to take the, you can see the permanent mineral trust fund SPA amount is $76 million, plus the $40 million from the 2014 budget bill SIPA amount, and I think that takes us to that about 116 then. And that would, I'm going to call that, Mr. Chairman, July 1st, 2015, contingent money. Now, that money, as my understanding, Mr. Chairman, is in the bank as long as we don't have capital losses before the end of the fiscal year. So those are realized capital gains. But if we have realized capital losses this spring, that number could go down. So these would be contingent-type monies. And then, Mr. Chairman, the last part of the motion, the governor's letter, would be the 2016 SPA amount, which you can see is $173 million, and I would call that the July 2016 contingent funds. Mr. Chairman, and again, those are unrealized, and we hope, you know, that projected that those will come in. But there are certain appropriations I think we can make that are, we would call contingent, Mr. Chairman, that if the money comes in, we can build that thing or pave that road or do whatever we decide.
What does that have? Is that the 173?
That's the 173, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman, what?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
So that's my motion. Okay.
Let's make sure we clarify the motion. So initially it's broken into two components. First is immediate revenue that we know that is there. That includes the $44 million excess revenue that has been somewhat characterized as natural gas, but it also includes some, I think there's some reversion money in there. You have your $140 million, which is in pre-13-14 reversions. The new reversions for 13-14, which is $34 million, and the SIPA,
the $21 million.
$21 million. That's what we know that we actually have. The second half of the motion is that which is contingent, meaning that we're looking out to most likely the end of this year or into 2016. And that those include the PMTF SPA 2015. PMTF SPA 2016, and this additional 40, I think that's in the SIPA.
Correct, Mr. Chairman.
It's not in the SIPA yet, but likely to happen.
So, correct, Mr. Chairman. The only thing I'd add is that the contingent piece is really broken into two subparts, too.
Right.
The July 1st, 2015, for $116 million.
Right.
And then the July 1st, 2016 is $173
million. All right. Understand the motion.
I have a second.
I'm sorry. Just so I tracked that just exactly. The $40 million in the SIPA, those are funds that are in hand. We're just waiting to see if we have any capital gains losses. Is that $40 million that was in the governor's letter?
It's Don.
Mr. Chairman, I would classify it as the motion indicated in that it is contingent. But we have to date received sufficient investment earnings such that if there are no losses between now and June 30th, those funds will be realized.
Okay. Senator
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman. And then,
Senator Burns.
Thank you, and Mr. Chairman. And then also, I guess, and the in separating the contingent parts, if we on the $173 million, which is the PWMTF SPA for 2016, that really won't be available until, if I remember right, that really won't be available, like I said, until July 1 of 2016, provided that we have good, decent investment earnings next year. So it's actually doesn't come until the end of the very end of the biennium, but nevertheless, we recognize that we're going to recognize the contingent income for the current biennium. Is that, am I understanding that right?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think you characterized that right. I think It's money we have, but it's investment income, and I think we've done this before where we say if then this happens, and that's really what it is. There'll be contingent revenues, so I think you make available to make for contingent appropriations.
Okay.
I think I.
Senator Burns. Any further questions? Representative Burkhardt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just so I'm clear, the immediately available revenue we're talking about is roughly $239.9
million. We added that up. What was that? It was about
240.
That? 240. Yeah, about 240, somewhere in there.
54,000.
Thank you.
Yes, Don.
Mr. Chairman, and just to clarify, we would treat all of these earnings as earned in fiscal year 16. So although the maker of the motion said July 1, we, for accounting purposes, we look at that as earned through June 30th.
Right, correct. Available to spend on July 1. That's the way I look at it. But
okay,
I'm good with either language.
All right. Any further discussion on the motion? It's been moved and seconded. Do we do roll calls on these? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That motion has been adopted, and we have established some baseline for us at that point in time. So, thank you there. So now, Don, I guess, help me muddle through here. Do we go right to Section 1, right? 001?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, the first page is Agency 001, Unit 1106,
okay.
On page 8 of the printed copy.
All right. I guess I say Gov's rec.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Motion to deny.
Okay, discussion. You have to have a second on that?
You don't have to.
Your second? Okay.
Mr. Chairman,
discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just, the remaining balance in that fund. We've kept it at about $750,000. It's down about $297,000. I don't think it's a need that right now in a supplemental that we refill that. We can revisit that next year. And if there is something over $1 million, it'll be a FEMA issue. If it's under that, there's plenty of flex authority in the governor's budget.
Okay. Further discussion? Any discussion on denying the governor's rec 001? For the disaster contingency account request for $297,684. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. That motion is passed.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just a question on procedure. I thought maybe we're different here or more informal. I thought all motions had to be in the positive. So that a vote to deny or motion to deny would be out of order.
Well, not having done this.
Something about Robert's Rules of Order there.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, the way I interpreted this was it was a motion to amend the Gov's rec to zero. And now you will vote to adopt the Gov's rec as amended. So,
Mr. Chairman, I surrender to that logic.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Chairman, we all know that Sheridan County, everything has to be in the positive, so we appreciate that. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I think Senator Burns is absolutely right, and that was my mistake, and it's motion to amend Gov's rec, zero it out. That's really the proper motion. So okay. Thank you, Senator Burns.
All right.
We're going to knock the dust off here.
Okay.
Co-chair.
So now there's nothing else in 001. We'll move to 002. Which is the Secretary of State.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Two items. Number one, I at least wanted to bring your attention to footnote number 3 in the existing budget in the governor's office. Provided $200,000 for the tribal relations in the first year of the biennium. In the second year of the biennium, you set aside $200,000, but those funds were not available unless you have further legislative action. There is a bill, Senate File 50, which would provide that legislative action. So if you do nothing, that's fine. If you wanted to act and release those funds, now would be the time to do so.
Mr. Chairman? So move.
Second.
We have a motion to
Mr. Chairman, the motion is to release the $200,000 that, if I understand Don correctly, to release the $200,000 that have been held in reserve for the second year of the biennium for the tribal relations program.
Do we have a, Mr. Chairman, do we have a recommendation or comment from the governor's office on how he wants to do it? And could you explain what the bill is so we know what the counter option is?
Isn't it? I guess I just have a question. I mean, if there's a bill out there, why is it? Won't the bill just take care of it in and of itself if it passes or not, Don?
Mr. Chairman, it will. I was just bringing it as a point of bringing it to your attention. But the bill would take care of it. The bill would likely continue because there are additional provisions that the Tribal Relations Committee, which is the sponsor of that bill, put on those funds and expectations for the liaisons going forward. So even if you acted to release the funds, there are substantive actions in that bill that would not be covered by the release of those funds.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hastert and then Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Don, and just to make sure I'm clear, the release of those funds, these are already appropriated. These wouldn't come off our bottom line currently. They're already appropriated.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So, Mr. Chairman, the other question I'd have is if we release the funds, then if the bill that's pending through legislation failed for whatever reason, it was the money would still be available, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, that's correct.
Okay, so releasing it would basically make, to some degree, the bill moot.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, not quite. The funding portion of the bill would be moot, but there are other substantive provisions regarding the relationship between the tribes and the state that would fall away.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rising or discussing against the motion, the tribal committee put together a bill. It's going to go to the floor, and it's going to live and die on its own merits. So I don't think we should be trumping what the tribal committee did, and so I'm opposed to the motion.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Burns.
Speaking in favor of the motion, regardless of whether that bill passes or fails, we still have an interest in intertribal relations and the intertribal, council? Going forward, I think this is something that we had let lapse, and we're just now starting back up again. And they're having their own problems. I think this is actually an important program that should go forward, regardless of whether that bill passes or fails on its own.
Okay, further discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Conley.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'm in favor of the motion. This body put a budget footnote on that held that money for an additional year. So I think it's appropriate for this body to take that budget footnote off so that money can be released, regardless of what happens with the bill.
Okay.
And just, Mr. Chairman, quick response. We put some requirements on that, contingencies on it, and we haven't had a response on it from the governor's office or anyone else on whether or not the funds were used appropriately and how it was done. So on and against the motion.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
Question on the motion.
Questions on the motion. Voice is fine, or do we raise hands here?
Mr. Chairman, voice, unless there's a question of the chair.
All right. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion's failed. Okay. We're now on agency 002.
Mr. Chairman, one more quick procedural item. The committee votes to close 001. It would be the next motion.
Move that 001 be closed. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been done. Now we're on Secretary of State 002. Sorry, I'll get this a hang of this here. Because I got my book. Okay, ready to go. 002 has two requests. It's Help America Vote Act. And there was $51,000 for the constitutional amendment publication. GovsRec.
You want to direct us to the page before we get going so we can kind of follow this, please?
In your hard book, it's 19 and 20. On your computer, it looks like it's page 6 and 7. Okay. I don't care how we do it. I mean, yes.
The motion on the floor, which does not require a second, is GovsRec, which would include both those items. Is that correct? That's how I understand.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And the footnote language that he has included for the $51,700.
Okay. And this is on our desk?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. It's the first item on your desk.
Uh-huh.
Included in the governor's rec, new footnote number 3.
That was from the governor's rec. And you prepared these for us, is that?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
So make sure we point out as we're moving along that I don't stumble over something. Okay, so we have Gov's rec and the footnote. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Gov's rec's been adopted. Motion to close, 002. Moved. Seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed. We're done with Secretary of State. 004. This is State Treasurer, and it's pages 11 and 12 in your book. And page 6 on your computer, 6 and 7. Correct? Yes. I guess I have to say GovsRec and then. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman. Motion to amend the Gov's rec, and I just want to, just so we refresh our memories here, and Mr. Chairman, that position 21 has been vacant for several years. That was my notes. And so, Mr. Chairman, the motion is to deny the new additional position, which was requested, and Mr. Chairman, was to reduce. They have the salary amounts of the chief executive at 250. My motion would be to reduce that to 200, Mr. Chairman, and then also to reduce, and that is position 0002, and then the senior investment officer, which is position 0019, that proposed salary increase was $152,000. My motion is to reduce that to 125. These are top ceilings now on the amendment or on these positions. And then, Mr. Chairman, on position 0021, motion is to reduce that proposed $152,000 salary down to 125 as well. And then Don, those will make all those adjustments for 15 months and all those things. So,
is there a second? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just so I understood it, the position 0002, you want that reduced to 200,000, not by 200,000.
200,000 is a top ceiling, Mr. Chairman. That's correct. Reduced by 50,000.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have a motion to amend the amendment. And rather than the motion would be, and rather than putting it at 200,000, I would put it at 180,000. And the reason I do that, I've got a publication here from the all CIOs from every state in the United States. The average salary for all CIOs, so that this particular position is $140,000. There's only two or three states that have $200,000 or greater. And so we would be, by putting it at $200,000, be one of the most well-paid CIO positions in the United States. And to me, that's just, I don't know if that's where we want to go. And so I would, my motion would be to reduce that to 180 and then proportionally the other two positions.
So we have a motion to amend the motion, and we need a second for that. Is there a second on the motion to amend? Hearing none, that motion. Pardon me? Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Let me finish.
Okay.
There's no second to the motion to amend, so we're back on the original motion, and now I'll call on you, Representative Conley.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And just procedurally, I'm not sure how to do this, but because I don't really think it's an amendment, but I'd like to deny the governor's rec. And so I'm curious about how we would do that procedurally. So if we accept this motion, it would lower the salaries, but then could I offer a subsequent motion that would deny the governor's rec completely?
Well, I think the procedure would be that you would vote on this motion. If you don't like this motion, you try to vote it down. Okay. And
well, Mr. Chairman,
huh?
Yeah.
The governor's rec is the motion.
No, it isn't. Not now.
Well, there, and then there's an amendment to that motion.
Yeah.
Right. So what? Just a moment. The motion that's on the floor right now is the motion to amend the Gov's rec.
Right.
And that has to rise and fall on its own merits. And then we can take up even a motion to deny the governor's rec.
Well,
okay.
Mr. Chairman, that's what I'm saying is that whatever happens to the motion, as you put it, by the co-chair, then there's a vote on the original motion, which is the Gov's rec.
No, then it's amendment.
No, there wouldn't be, because if we passed this motion, the co-chair's motion, then the Gov's rec is gone.
Gov's rec as amended.
It's Gov's rec as amended.
Don't we have another vote after that?
No, just a close.
Gov's rec as amended.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I think you're right. The motion that's pinned is the Gov's rec as amended. So if Representative, I believe, Mr. Chairman, if Representative Conley wants to do it, it's another amendment to the existing amendment, what it would be. Because otherwise, if we voted it, the Gov's rec as amended has been adopted, and you're done. But so what it is, it's another motion just similar to Representative Nicholas's.
Okay, so it's a motion to amend that to take it all the way out.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator,
as I understand it right now, we have the Gov's rec as amended. Representative Harshman made the recommendation on his amendment for $200,000 to take the Gov's rec on the salary to and on line 00 or position 0002 to $200,000.
Right.
And I know Representative Conley's question about asking, and she can certainly amend and say, I further amend. And take that to zero. She could take it to zero or bring in a second amendment if this one passes to take that to zero. Is that correct?
I believe so.
All right. So, Mr. Chair, at this point, do I do a motion like Representative Nicholas to amend the motion from the co-chair to take it to zero?
Okay.
So I make that motion.
Motion is then to amend the current motion to take position 0002, executive management X14 to zero. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Is there a second? Hearing no second, that motion dies. Okay, so we got a discussion on
Mr. Chairman?
Chief Investment Officer.
On that point, we don't want to take this. Do you want to eliminate the position or just take the increase to zero?
Mr. Chair, just take the increase to zero.
So you leave the salary at 124?
Correct. And so it is simply to not allow for the doubling of the existing salaries.
All right. Everybody understand?
And, Mr. Chair, the reason for it is that, to me right now, this is not an exception request. This is the kind of very serious request that should come through the regular budgeting process, and that would be next year.
Mr. Chairman? Speaking against the motion to the motion, Mr. Chairman, I really appreciate the treasurer actually coming in and making the case for a salary increase for his folks. And what you're seeing in state government, and I think you'll see like this position that's been open for years, the money from that position in the 100 series is used to augment existing positions, and it's happening all over our agencies. And I appreciate the director of an agency, in this case the state treasurer, coming and making the case for a salary increase. And that's the way it should be done. And I think on some of these things you voted up or you voted down, but I think we got to also examine that issue of, we appropriate positions to get work done for the people of the state, not to raise salaries for folks in other positions. And so I appreciate his forthrightness, and I think you have a position that's been open for years. It's obviously not people working there. I don't think we need that position. And I think the salary request is a little excessive, so motion to trim back. So I'd urge your defeat of this one. I think some is necessary to manage a very large portfolio, and I think we want to build that kind of capacity because treasures come and go. And these folks, we want to have really smart people in those spots for a long time. So let's speak against the motion to the motion.
Mr. Chairman, and just to follow up on that, it's my understanding that the position's only been open for roughly 2 years, and it was open just because when he came into office, he didn't know how he's going to fill it or what it was going to do and what the responsibilities were and that type of thing. And so it's not like it's been and in fact, he came before us, I think, two years ago and said, I'm going to need to fill this position at some point in time. I'm just not ready to do it yet. So I would reasonably anticipate that in the next budget session we'll see a request to restate or to fill that position with and more articulation on why it's going to happen. So that just at least that's my understanding of that particular position. But.
Mr. Chairman? If I could, Mr. Chairman, thank you. This is not to delete an existing position. This is to delete the request for another position. And that is, my motion is that L001, which is a new position, not be funded and authorized. I didn't want to delete the one that's been open. I'm not proposing to delete that.
Mr. Chairman, can we vote on Representative Connolly's amendment? And then, because I have a couple questions on the initial.
Representative Connolly's motion was in regards to position 002, XMT TO3, or whatever it is, Executive Management 3, is to return it to deny the Gov's rec and keep the salary at its current place. Any further discussion on that? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion's failed. We're now back on the original motion, which I am lost now.
Okay.
Which
Chairman,
one?
I can restate it if you'd like.
Yes. Would you make sure we know exactly where you're taking the salaries on these positions?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, if everyone is on page 11 of their budget book, Mr. Chairman, and so starting with the top position, 0002, a chief investment officer, the treasurer asked for an annual salary of $250,000.
Right.
My amendment takes that top ceiling to $200,000. Okay. Mr. Chairman, the next position, 0019, the treasurer asked to take that annual salary up to $152,000. My motion took that to 125, and identical for 0021, the third position on that page, also at 125. And then, Mr. Chairman, the final part of the motion was to deny L001, the new position. So we're not cutting a position in the office. We're just not growing the office.
Okay. Do you understand the motion?
I do. And, Mr. Chairman, I have a question because I've been a bit confused on this. In the Series 100, in terms of that, That salary that we're appropriating needs to go to that position. It can't be, like, the vacant position cannot be divided up and used for the other two positions. Am I correct in understanding that? I realize, like, Department of Health has some leeway.
Mr. Chairman, that is, the agency should not do that, but without a footnote directing them not to, for example, capping the salaries at $200,000, $125,000. Technically, they could. Not supposed to, but they could.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't know how the rest of the body feels, but I think we should cap that. I mean, I respect the treasurer coming in and saying, hey, I need to pay these people some more and standing in front of us, but I think we need to stop having vacant positions and spreading that money around. At the discretion with the should not, I guess we have to say you won't. So I would amend the motion to say that they're capped at that amount.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that the amounts be capped as such. Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I guess I just want understanding what that exactly means by capping. I mean, as I recall the testimony, the treasurer indicated that, you know, these would be the high end, and he wouldn't certainly be offering the starting position. It would be commensurate to experience and whatnot. But when you say cap, what then how does that relate? Because I assume that by having these numbers in and having the annual salary there, that is the cap. But what, I mean, I'm trying to just understand that.
Don?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hastert, we would actually create a footnote very similar to the Wyoming retirement system and say the position of chief investment officer, position number 0002, shall serve at the will of the state treasurer or something to that effect and shall be paid salaries determined by the state treasurer not to exceed $200,000 or something very similar to that.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I understand the motion and just on and against the motion as it's currently constituted. Mr. Chairman, as I remember the testimony from the treasurer when he came in, what he was talking about was that these would be up to, and so the 250 was the cap. What he was interested in is finding both experience but also having ability to grow and provide for increases in salary in the future. And so what we're doing here is we're telling the treasurer that you know what, you go in, and so now instead of being able to maybe go get somebody at 180 or 190 or even 200, and then in the future be able to, as they grow into the job and as their performance would suggest that it should be done to increase those salaries. And so, you know, I, Mr. Chairman, I'm afraid that we may be here being penny wise and pound foolish with respect to an $18 billion portfolio with a with an investment strategy that has to be overseen that plays quarterback to some 35 to 40 different investment advisors that continues to do a significant value, if I remember right, about $1 billion of in-house investment in bonds. It seems to me, I'm just worried. While I have no problem with removing the one position, I do think that we ought not to prevent the treasurer from going out and being one of the best and brightest. While there may be 50 other CIOs out there, this is about the 56th or 57th largest or most influential sovereign fund in the world, and not just in the United States. And I think we just need to be careful here with not enabling our treasurer to go out and seek somebody who fits not only the Wyoming way and would be happy here, but also would have the skills commensurate with what we need them to do.
Mr. Chairman, I respond to that, and I again appreciate the comments and the significance of the duties here. But you know, we're setting a budget and we're identifying positions, and so we identify a position, then apparently there should be a workload associated with that, or else the position isn't needed. But my response to Senator Perkins would be, then this go back to the $250,000 and give him a discretion to hire somebody at $200,000 and grow him in and have room for the salary, rather than place card a position and not fill it. Because if we have three positions, there should be work necessary for three positions. And that's all I'm saying is, if I don't, and I've seen this here in my brief stint, there's a lot of vacant positions. And are they being held because they can't be filled, or are they being held because they're trying to push funds over to get around what we're setting for our salaries? And it's just a policy decision. And I'm not downplaying the importance of these people that we need managing these funds. So I'd much rather say this, make sure these positions are filled. There's no money moving between them. And to accommodate Senator Perkins, I'd rather go ahead and raise the salary back up and just be honest about what we're doing.
Okay, well, the motion is, and I'll allow you to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I'd do is I'd move to amend the motion then to put the salaries for positions, what is it? We're doing this by position.
To put
the cap on, a hard cap at 250, and to put on 19 to put the hard cap back at 152, on position 21 to put the hard cap back at 152, and then have the in the footnote language to prevent the moving of those salaries, that those salaries have to be used for those salaries. They can't be intermingled in that series 100. And to leave the new position, leave that as in the original motion, which is we would remove the new position.
Second. Okay. Yeah. We got like three motions going there now.
I thought, Mr. Chairman, I thought that was an amendment to the motion.
That's what the intent was.
Motion, the original motion, which we already know is through the co-chair. Then there was a motion to amend to cap them. And now you've moved to modify the cap. I suggest that we vote whether or not you wish to cap, and then your motion would be in order if you wish to make an additional motion at that point in time.
Okay.
So that's the way we're going to do it. So having said that, all those in favor of Representative Greer's motion to cap the salaries, as suggested, with the footnote conceptual language that Don Richards provided, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay, that motion is passed. Now, do you wish to modify that?
Yes, please.
All right.
The way that I said.
Okay, is there a second to that motion? Okay, discussion.
Just to follow up on what I'm looking at is the executive branch CIO positions in the United States. I have a list of all 50 of them. There's only one state that pays more than $200,000 to a CIO, and that's Michigan. They pay $250,000. Every other state pays $200,000 or less. So I'm against the motion.
Okay. Any further discussion on Senator Perkins' motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That motion's failed. Okay. So now we're back on 002, and the motion would be to close this budget.
No. No. Just
you got
to,
more motions?
No, it's the original.
We're back on the original motion.
As amended. Gov's rec is amended. Jeez Louise.
Okay, before we do that, I do have one other motion to make with respect to source funding, but I think we can do that after we vote on the original motion. Is that correct?
I'm not sure. Tell me what you're doing.
Well, I mean, we're right now, I think the motion is basically set the salaries, but when we have the funding source, I have a potential motion on the source.
Be a separate motion.
So, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
As I understand it, the motion we're about to vote on was to cap 0002 at 200,000, the other two positions at 125, and to get rid of the new position.
That's correct.
Not authorized new position.
Okay. Everybody understand the motion? Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of, I guess, am I doing this right, to approve the motion to approve the co-chairman's motion, because I don't think we're ready to close. All right? As amended. Governor's rec has amended. Thank you, Jesus. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That amendment's been carried. Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, I would I think as far as funding source, when we look at that, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we instead of approve the additional the differential to come out of the funding source, I'd move that the treasurer go to ANI and see if it, and then find the additional money in ANI. There's recruiting money and other sources of money in ANI for recruiting and enhancing those types of salaries. And I think that there's money in the ANI that they could go do that with. And so I would make a motion that the incremental costs associated with the actions just taken would be from other sources. It would be from other be out of ANI and direct him to go find the additional funding out of ANI from recruiting or other sources available in the employee funds available at ANI.
Okay, is there a second? Representative Nicholas. Is there a second? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I second it because I'm just trying to understand. I'm not tracking very well. I apologize, but
right, Mr. Chairman, if I may, that you know, as you think about this, in ANI we have there are funds available in ANI. I believe that are out there for them to go out and recruit. You know, similar to what we heard yesterday in Department of Corrections, where they have that money to go out and they can go out and there's money available to go out and do recruiting and do other things to attract people into the right positions in Wyoming. Those funds are available, and I believe that they can be expended, and I think that there's enough flex in that budget over there that I think they can go find that the incremental amounts that we're talking about here for the rest of the biennium. And to go find that money in INI and get it and apply it there as opposed to drag it out of the funding source for this biennium.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Nicholas.
I mean, I've not heard of this before. Where's the money? What accounts are it in? And it's recruitment's a little bit different than actually retaining and paying salaries for. So, I mean, how do we know what's there, how much is there, and what, or maybe Don, you can help.
Don, can you help us here?
Mr. Chairman, the only funds I'm aware of that would directly assist would be one-time funding of $2 million provided for employee salary increases last year, of which no funds, to my knowledge, have been expended. That was in Section 305 of last year's budget, and we may have to add a sentence, say, including salary support for the state treasurer's office positions or something to that effect, just to be clear.
And we have a gov's letter on that issue, don't we?
We do have a governor's letter to do not this, but other things with those funds.
How much? Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. How much was that amount in it?
$2 million. Mr. Chairman, $2 million.
And none of that's been Mr. Chairman, none of that's been expended.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
So, Mr. Chairman, Senator Perkins, is that the funds you're talking about, or do you have? Are there other things that you're thinking of?
No, that's the fund. We put that $2 million out there so we could go out and recruit or do other salary adjustments to retain people or other things like that. If I remember what we did with that $2 million, and I think that we can use the incremental amounts. I'm not talking about the full salaries. I'm just talking about the incremental amounts that would be authorized by this action.
And Mr. Chairman, then that would just be for the rest of this biennium. Then it rolls into a standard budget.
Okay. Correct.
Don, what was the gov's letter on the same money?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Mr. Yes. Chairman, Kevin Hibbard. The current $2 million that is available for recruitment and retention specifically states that it cannot be rolled into a standard budget.
Mr. Chairman.
Stop!
Mr. Chairman, we can write the appropriate footnote to resolve that. what we do in appropriation.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm trying to figure out what the point is of doing something like this. It seems like it'd be more just more of a of an exercise in budgetary juggling, because that 2 million is one time money. So after this cycle, it would have to revert back to the same source. And the other question I have is, as I understand the motion, you just want the differential between the 124,598 and the 200,000 to come from that 2 million. Is that correct, or do you want that all to come from the 2 million?
Mr. Chairman, I want it all to come from, I want the, just the incremental amount to come from the 2 million. And the reason I want to do that is because the 2 million is already appropriated. So what you have, even though this funding source comes out of the income stream, this reduces the amount of the general fund that comes in the future. What we've got, so as we look at our future, my thought process is this, that when we look at what we're doing and how we get through the next biennium, we've got 220-odd million to fill. Then we're going to go back and we can use two million that we've already allocated. We're going to use that, and so we're going to save about $200,000-odd. And shove it from additional appropriation here to money that's already appropriated.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. Yes.
Does that, if whatever we don't spend of that $2 million, doesn't that revert back to the general fund anyway?
Mr. Chairman, it does at the end of the biennium.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, at the end of the biennium. But what you're trying to do right now is continue to work on whittling down the $220 million deficit that we have coming into this thing. And so every 100,000 that we can claw out of this helps us solve that hole.
Okay. And Representative Conley.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. If I remember correctly, and Don, maybe you could refresh my memory, when the Treasurer did his presentation, he told us that all salaries in his division were paid out of the income from the accounts. And so that being the case, that we would then be, with Senator Perkins' amendment, going into some very different kind of executive branch money for a portion of the salaries. Is that an accurate interpretation of what would be happening here?
Don?
Mr. Chairman, they are different sources of funds, but at the end of the day, they hit the profile, meaning they hit the front page of the profile in the same way. Senator Perkins' motion would have no impact, no negative impact on the profile. If you adopt the governor's rec, it would have, and we haven't run the numbers here, but $300,000 I'll just use as a placeholder, negative impact to the profile.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Conley.
Just as a kind of follow-up or a comment on this, it seems to me that the governor's letter addresses $2 million that was for executive branch employees that are not in the treasurer's office, and that what we'd be doing if we adopt this amendment is skimming from that. I mean, that it would come right off the top because we know that this money would be used. And so that's not the intent of what we did last year or this $2 million at all. And that the treasurer, when he did his presentation and talked about these positions and made clear to us that these funds would be coming out of the income from those accounts, and I do understand that it wouldn't be hitting the goldenrod in the same way, but that it seems to me to make sense that these additional salaries be paid in the same way that we're paying the current ones. So I resist the amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Nick.
All I can say is to Senator Perkins, I like the way you think, but why don't we just take the $2 million and throw it back into the general fund? We're doing the same thing instead of just kind of cutting and pasting, so against the motion.
Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
That motion has failed. Any further motions pertaining to 004? Is that what it was? 002. Huh? Representative Greer.
No, Mr. Chair, I was just curious if that motion actually failed or not.
Yeah.
I'll call for division, sir.
All those in favor of Senator Perkins' motion, raise your hand. Failed. Okay. So now the motion is to close.
Move to close.
Close section, whatever the heck it is. Gov's rec is amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We have closed.
Now we vote to close.
Vote to close 04. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We're done with that. 006, which is ANI. Don, ANI's request.
Mr. Chairman, the first item is Unit 2001, pages 11 and 12 of the hard copy. Director's Office Operations, Governor's Rec is for an increase of $213,638.
And what was that for?
Excuse me, 154.
154. Okay. Page 10. $154,000 for hosting and maintenance fees for state accounts receivable application, Sarah. Computer app hosted by outsource vendor, currently mainframe.
GovsRec.
Second. I don't even know if we need a second. Any motions? To amend, here, call for the question. Gov's rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That's been adopted. Motion to close. 006.
No.
Is there any more?
That's unit. Now we're on 2501.
Where is that? Oh. 14 and 15. Governor's Rec is approval of $213,638 in general fund. Transfer two full-time positions from the Department of Enterprise Technology.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Time out on that. I just need an explanation because I was out of the room when ETS was here. Was there a corresponding reduction in ETS due to this increase? Thank you.
I have in my notes that they reside in the budget, that these two positions would be transferred from ETS are vacant.
Don, really, my question, I'm trying to, if you could refresh the committee's memory, my notes was to deny this, and I wrote something like allow the positions with no funding, bill the agencies, and reduce ETS budget authority. I don't know. That's what I have in my notes, so why don't you sharpen that up for me?
Mr. Chairman, the two positions are being transferred, so there is a reduction of two positions in ETS and an increase in positions in ANI Budget Division. No funding moved over. The funding from ETS that supported those two vacant positions was from internal service funds. Not only did the funding not move, but there was not any reduction in budget authority, so they could still use those that budget authority to support other activities of the agency.
So, and for, so my, I guess my, I don't know if I have a motion, but my concern then was to really reduce the budget authority on that. That's why I had a denial written in my note, I think.
Mr. Chairman, we'll bring that to your attention when we get to Agency 77. I mean, you'll see that those positions are reduced with no funds, and that might also spark your attention.
Right. Okay. Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, but I think that's the point, though, is that even though those positions were reduced, there was no funding associated with that. So this, what it was, they're empty positions with no funding. Only the positions were authorized. So the effect of this is we actually take and we increase ETS or ETS type of activities. Now within we increase those activities and increase the funding for those activities. So the move of the positions is, as I understand it, is hollow. There's no fiscal or economic effect. But when we move them here, then we're expanding the budget by $213,000. And there's no corresponding offset in ETS.
Mr. Chairman, and what was the justification for the need for these positions?
Mr. Chairman, I'd turn that to the budget director. It's his budget, if you, the committee is willing.
Sure. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, throughout the process of Senate File 70 and 71, what we recognize is that there was an opportunity to point the tip of the spear directly at the processes associated with federal funding and grants. We believe that uniformity, which is out actually in the statute for the budget division, there's an expectation under the statutes that we provide uniformity in the collection administration of federal grants. In that expectation, we believe that we can get agencies in a place where we're all using the same tool. If we had an agency that came in harm's way, we have like 40 agencies now that have two or less financial administrators. So if we had an agency that became in harm's way on that process, we'd be able to lean in and assist them with that. And also, we recognize that some of the larger agencies, there's no intention to actually have them follow our uniformity. But the reality is we've got all kinds of different things going on out there as far as what we have for federal grants management. So we really want to kind of focus in on that and deliver our expectation to establish uniformity for the collection and administration of federal funds.
Okay. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess for Don, if we were to authorize the transfer of positions, and that's basically what we'd ask that they're asking for, and approve the salary amounts, and then later when we get to agency 77, if I have your numbers correct, reduce their is it spending authority? Is that the correct term? Then the net is zero. Is that correct or not?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hastert, that is not correct, because this $213,000 will hit your goldenrod. It will hit the general fund. The saved monies, to the extent that spending authority is reduced, will not assist in making up any of that revenue, because those are not general funds. Those are internal service funds.
And, Mr. Chairman, then that will be doubled for the biennium. Is that correct? So it will basically be $426,000.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, yes. Just kind of, I think, you know, the question really maybe is for Kevin, that, I mean, these positions are going to be like service positions to other agencies, particularly smaller agencies that don't have the expertise. And so my thought was really, I guess, kind of trying to remember, but was more, why wouldn't these be kind of bill out type services to agencies that use the service?
Mr. Chairman, in fact, with the exception of my position in the budget division, we do go through the statewide cost allocation similar to that of ETS. We didn't want to set the premise here that we were going to create those billable. That would be a decision of the JAC if you wanted to include those positions in those billable events through the statewide cost allocation. One of the other points on this is, too, is that this process that we're talking about, uniformity, is specifically related to what already exists in the Wolf system today. We're not talking about sure. establishing a new process, buying new software. We're just trying to implement the software that we have now in a better fashion and assist those agencies in that process of administering those grants.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman,
yes.
and Don, so I'm working towards a motion here, I think, on this to allow the positions, but to deny the funding and make those be paid through cost allocation of through the agencies.
Second.
Is that help me out with that? If that can, I mean, is that possible? I guess.
What do you?
I see some of this going on. So, I don't want to do any harm on this. I want to know if that's possible.
Mr. Chairman, these would presumably be full-time permanent positions that may or may not have a full-time purpose to serve other agencies. Therefore, they wouldn't have billable time. As Kevin describes, this help to other agencies is not a full-time endeavor. There were some other things that he perceives they might be doing that would not necessarily be billable hours to an agency. It would be, in effect, assistance to the process. Mr. Chairman, I just don't know that you'd be able to get the funds back.
Okay, I don't want to. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator, and then Representative Morgan.
I guess my question is, why is this necessary in a supplemental budget? Why wouldn't this come up during the full regular budget cycle? If the need is there, is there any great emergency on this going to the end of the cycle? Or what exactly came up between the passing of the budget and now? In the narrative, there's a lot of talk about the federal stimulus bill and so forth. Well, that's come and gone, too.
Mr. Chairman, currently the Office of OMB in the federal level is going through this process of uniformity right now to try to get the federal agencies all doing the same process, and we believe that we can dovetail in that as well. We also think that there's some areas currently that we could assist agencies in to better develop and implement the capture of federal funds on a more timely basis directly. So we're trying to do two things, you know, dovetail with OMB, get our process that's already established inside of the WOL system in uniformity, and also take advantages of savings where we can.
Okay.
And, Mr. Chairman, what's the logic of needing two positions to do that, or how do you know exactly how many positions that you need? How did you come up with that?
Mr. Chairman, we felt that two positions would allow us to have two trained employees so that we'd have two individuals that would be available all year long. Naturally, there's vacation time, there's sick leave, there's other things that all these individuals wouldn't be on hand for the full year. So two positions would allow us to be able to implement this constantly. And also, there's another expectation that, let's say that we did have a situation, one of the 40 agencies that have two or less financial administrators, and they had somebody leave or depart or retire, then we could actually have one of these people get on hand with them in their agency and assist them through that envelope of not having an individual hired.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Don't I have on my notes here that there should be a corresponding reduction in ETS budget? Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, yes, and we will bring that to your attention when we discuss Agency 77.
So my question over all of this debate then, are we concerned about the two positions regardless of where they are?
Mr. Chairman, there is no net increase in state positions. So that is, two of them are moving from ETS to ANI, but it is a net increase in general funds to the tune of $213,000 that is not offset. Even if you reduce the spending authority, it does not offset those general funds. The reason being is there are two different fund sources. So, for example, if we took two game and fish employees that were vacancies, move those commission-funded employees to Department of Revenue, which is a generally funded agency, the money from hunting license fees would not come with those positions when they came to the Revenue Department. So even though the people would move, the funds would increase in terms of the burden on the general fund.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to speak against Gov's Rec. To me, it's almost a little bit of a sleight of a hand. If they want two new employees, they ought to just come directly out and say it and explain it to us. But by moving from agency to agency as if it's not going to be an impact, or to me the logic of it is just it's not direct, and honest, and also I don't really see the exact need in a presentation in a supplemental budget. So and against GovsRec.
Okay. The motion is GovsRec. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the GovsRec, say aye. Okay, motion is to amend GovsRec to zero. Representative Stubbs.
Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, so we've got the two positions moved in here as well. So is the motion to move zero and eliminate the positions?
Mr. Chairman, those positions are not currently in ANI, so if we want to remove the positions, we wait till we get to ETS.
And, Mr. Chairman, just to clarify, I guess I just need to understand on the motion where the contemplated motion is zero funding and there would be not the two new positions in ANI.
So wouldn't that just be denying the GovsRec?
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to do, and somebody told me I couldn't. That's not the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think for clarity, I think, and it's still a positive motion, when you say GovsRec and it gets voted down, then it just, this recommendation does not move forward. Is that's correct? We don't have to zero it out. Is that correct?
Thank you. GovsRec, all those in favor, say aye.
Of the GovsRec?
Yeah. GovsRec, all those in favor, say aye. Hearing none, GovsRec is denied. Now we have another area. It is.
So that was unit 2501.
And now we're on unit 2501 is denied. We're now on unit 3506. That's what I just said.
3056.
Oh, okay. 3056, which is Governor recommends $671,879 general funds for utility increases.
I move the GovsRec.
Huh?
I'll move the GovsRec.
Move GovsRec.
Motion on it. Yeah, I urge us to vote no on this Governor's Rec. I don't think it's necessary, and we'll come back and visit this in the budget set.
Okay. Any further discussion on GovsRec?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'm just curious. It is additional utility costs for the Eidelman Mansion. What is the Eidelman Mansion? That the funeral home?
What happened was we purchased the Eidelman Mansion, which is old Schrader's.
Oh, the funeral home. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I just, you know, utility rates are like anything. It's hard to predict, and it depends on the weather. We're currently in one of the mildest winters ever. So I'd hope we'd vote no on this Governor's Rec.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stepson.
Along the same lines, just on that question of the Eidelman Mansion, the testimony was that only 11,000 out of that 671,000 is because of the increased utilities in Eidelman Mansion. The rest is just
city
utilities in general. So.
Okay. All right. Discussion? All those in favor of GovRec, say aye. Opposed?
No.
GovRec's denied. Have anything more? Let's see. Next here is $60,010, which is. State library seeking $40,000 to digitize Wyoming session laws. 100% general fund. I didn't hear. GovsRec. You don't need a second. All right. Discussion? Question? All those in favor of Grubbs Rec, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That has been approved. 40,000. And I think that closes. No. One more.
No, Mr. Chairman, we usually do capital construction at the end altogether, so that would conclude 006. In terms of the operations, we generally take all capital construction at the end.
Okay. Wait.
Mr. Chairman, I did have just a question, and again, sometimes I'll be raising issues which, you know, people don't have any interest in following through on, but we've had prior discussions. There was prior discussion regarding longevity and whether a study would be desired.
Yes.
I have, if I can find it. I have basically,
Chairman, I have an amendment just for A&I to study the we have like a longevity payment at 10 years, I believe it is. Is that right? 5 years is $40 a month, and then every 5 years, it's an additional $40. And I just wanted to have A&I come back to us and examine this, and I can get the language to you, but the concept is this. Examine that $40 every 5 years, or is there and what that cost would look like if we had a plan to raise that or do anything. But also I'd like to – the concept of, you know, we're trying to get all our employees at 90% of market on the hay study. And what would it look like, different scenarios of using the hay study, where maybe at 15 years, for example, you move to 95%? Or, I don't know. I mean, I want us to kind of think about that issue, because that it's been out there. It hasn't been changed since the 1970s, I think, or 80s. It's been in there a long time. So I'd like some more education back to us when we get together a year from now, Mr. Chairman. So that's really my motion, just to bring back some scenarios on this longevity pay.
Is that conceptual enough for you?
Mr. Chairman, yes.
Okay. Huh?
Mr. Chairman, I could read what we have so far. The sure. Department of Administration Information Human Resources Division shall formulate alternative proposals for increasing the compensation based upon longevity for eligible state employees. One of the alternatives shall incorporate the employee's longevity into the market and merit computation, which the co-chairman mentioned. A second alternative shall include increasing the longevity payments to eligible state employees. The department shall provide a report to JAC with alternative proposals, including costs, by November 1.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just curious on that longevity payment. It's $40 for every additional $40 for every 5 years. How long has that been $40?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know exactly. I do recall it used to be $20 in the 90s, but I don't have the exact history. Oh, $30, excuse me, in the 90s.
Okay. Representative Conley.
Mr. Chair, I'm in favor of this amendment, and I'm wondering if it would be a friendly amendment to the footnote to add in general, a discussion of the impact of compression on executive branch salaries, which in some way this longevity study addresses. Mr. Chairman, is that friendly enough?
Mr. Chairman, I'm hoping to get a second. Did I get a
second? Oh, second.
Okay. Friendly. You know, we talk about it every year, and I think it's just something for education for us. I mean, it's a big part of the whole budget is salaries, and I think we just want to understand this. Sure. So I'd consider that friendly, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any further discussion on the? I guess it's a footnote. All those in favor say it. I'm sorry, did I miss somebody?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, but I think Representative Connolly's amendment would be up first, is that right?
No, he recognized that as a friendly amendment.
Oh, okay. Different procedure. Sorry. Okay.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That footnote will be adopted. Now, even though there's construction in this budget, we'll just – do you not close it out now? Or do we close?
Motion to close would be in order, and then we'll revisit this agency on capital construction at the end.
moved to close section department 006. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We have closed out 006. Next department.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Another one, I believe it's on your list. It's the second item on page 1, section 007, Wyoming Military Department. They do not have a supplemental budget request, but they are the next agency in order. Last year, the Appropriations Committee included funds sufficient to provide $100 per funeral to the veteran burial teams. Unfortunately, the statute provides a maximum already of $50 per funeral. So you put the money in there, but they are not allowed to spend it unless we put in some provision that allows that temporary increase to $100. And that language is in proposed footnote number 6 to section 007, which I believe you have in your handout.
Yeah.
Second.
But we have to open 7.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I guess I'm wondering if the $50 limit is statutory, isn't it? So we can't change that with a footnote, can we?
Do it notwithstanding.
Really? Wow. We got superpowers.
That's right. Mr. Obrecht can respond to that.
Matt?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Burns, there is prior precedent and quite a bit of the appropriations bill notwithstanding statute. It's for a limited period of time. It may not be the preferred practice in all instances, but there is plenty of prior precedent for that.
Okay, so the motion, as I understand it, is you have to first open the budget. All those in favor of opening 007, Wyoming Military Department, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, now that that's open, does anybody wish to move proposed amendment?
I move the amendment, footnote 6, to veteran service line.
Second.
Okay. Seconded by Representative Burkhart. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So I've discovered this superpower we have. But does this power and does this $100 expire at the end of the cycle?
Yes.
So it would make sense for somebody to bring a bill to change to raise that up to the $100.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Don, could I get you to write that bill? I'll sponsor it. Matt, could I get you to write that bill? I'll sponsor it. Thank you.
Okay. So just procedurally, if we're running a bill, do you need this? If it doesn't pass, okay. All right, so we have a motion on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That footnote's adopted.
Motion to close.
All those in favor say aye. Okay. 007's closed. Now on to 010.
Uh-oh.
Department of Ag. Unit number is 303. It's a request for $38,300 in laboratory equipment, I believe. It's 9 and 10 in your budget book. Governor Rex, $21,300 in general fund for the equipment. And he recommends denial of $17,000 general fund for the trailer prover device.
Mr. Chairman, move Governor's rec.
Second.
Okay. Discussion. Gov's rec. Any further discussion? All those in favor of Gov's rec, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. But that has... It was pretty clear that there was more ayes than no. All those in favor, raise your hand. One, two, three. Can't do two. One, two, three, four, five. Opposed. Been defeated. All right. Is there anything else in OO? Yeah. I got to go to Unit 317, Department of Ag.
I think 304.
Did I miss 304? Oh, this is.
Yeah, we're going to recommend it. Oh, but there's 50,000.
Am I missing something here, Don? What's
that? Three things.
Mr. Chairman, there are a number of things. The conclusion is on page 19 of your budget. It's Department of Agriculture, Unit 0304. I believe he recommended denial of $84,000 in lab equipment, approval of $68,000 for maintenance agreement, as well as approval of $244,000 and a contract quality service accreditation specialist. We have prepared language in your handout, footnote 3, which specifies that specifically that this quality supervisor accreditation specialist shall terminate upon accreditation.
Okay.
And that's changed the, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And that has changed the amount. Is that right? It's a 1 year? Ask was for $244,000. Is that right? Or not all that was.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Why would this be a, as I read this, we're actually hiring somebody as an employee. Why wouldn't this be a 900 series contract? Why wouldn't we contract with somebody to do this?
Don?
Mr. Chairman, it is a 900 series request, and that's articulated on page 15 of the governor's budget. The $120,775 is a professional service contract.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd move footnote 3. I think it's on that last one on page 1.
At this. Well, do we have a motion on Gov's Rec on this?
Motion to amend Gov's Rec, I guess, would be in order for footnote 3.
All right. Is it moved and seconded? Any discussion on the motion to amend Gov's Rec? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
What was that? Was that a vote? Okay. All right. So we have adopted the footnote 3 as set out by staff. Any further motions concerning unit number 304?
Mr. Chairman, there's another governor's recommendation on page 17 of 68,230.
Okay. Fuel analyzers.
Mr. Chairman.
Continues agreements.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I'd move to amend the Gov's Rec because there's three things, I think, in that. He has two approvals, one denial. I would also move to amend Gov's Rec, and that is the priority. It's the approval of the $68,000 for the annual calibration analyzers, and I think that's priority 4 maintenance that he approved. I would move to amend Gov's Rec and zero that out. Deny.
Deny the 68?
Correct.
230.
So that doesn't affect the one on the position above that on priority
3, the lab assistant accreditation. This is just that analyzer piece of maintenance equipment.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Deny the 68-230.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Question. If we deny this, is this, I guess it's additional to calibrating the fuel analyzers? Are we still able to do that if we deny this? To calibrate those fuel analyzers they use on the little, they end up putting a little sticker on the gas pumps after they do it.
Mr. Chairman, I just, I think some of these maintenance items, we've seen a lot of maintenance items in this budget, from lawnmowers to calibration to all those things, and I'd just soon wait and see that in a budget session, and I just think that some of those things that'll be built into our budgets anyway. So.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, that's what I understood, is you still can do the job. They're just looking at being able to improve the job and have new equipment, and I'd agree with the co-chair that something for a standard budget.
Okay, so the motion is to amend, deny the 68-230. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That's been adopted.
Chairman, I'd move Gov's Rec as amended.
Gov's Rec as amended. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's been adopted. Motion to close.
Chairman, I think we're on unit 317.
317 now? Wait, wait. 317. Gov's Rec. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
You want the 200?
Oh, the Gov's Rec was denial.
Right.
Never mind.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Anything? Is there more?
There is more.
Oh, there's more. God. There is a unit 801. Is that right? Is that next?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Page 31 on the printed copy.
Governor Rec, $250,000 general fund for rising operational costs.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Motion to amend and deny the Gov's Rec on this. This is continuing cost that'll incur, and it should be in the regular budget.
Okay.
Do you have a fund number for this?
Second.
Our fund number is unit number 801. It's state fair operations. He recommended $200,000 in general fund for equipment needs and denial of the remaining $212,500 in general fund. So motion was to amend Gov's Rec to zero.
Mr. Chairman, time out. Just I want to make sure I'm clear. We're on page 27, 801, operational funds to $250,000. I just want to make sure that I'm on the correct page. A little confusion here.
27 is the 250 general fund for rising operational costs.
Yes.
And then there's our next one after that.
Yes.
And there's the second priority with regards to state.
Mr.
So
Chairman.
This is the first one, which is operational costs.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'd amend my motion to address the professional services on page 27 to amend to zero.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? That's been approved. Then we have priority number 2. Vision is requesting $412,000, $500 to replace various pieces of equipment. The governor approved $200,000 but denied $212,500.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I move to amend the governor's rec and zero it all out.
Okay. Second. Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Two counts. One is the $200,000 that the governor had wanted is for equipment needs for stuff that's worn itself out. The state fair people should have known this for the regular budget cycle, rather than putting it into a supplemental budget. Plus, when they came and testified on this, one of the things we found out is for all this stuff and these wandering minstrels and all this stuff they have at the state fair, they only charge a dollar for people to get in, which is wonderful as long as you have us paying for it. And I think that they should be looking at a new business model.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion? Say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That's been reduced to zero. Have we covered everything?
We're on Capcom now. How do you want to?
Mr. Chairman, I think you have Gov's recommended, and then you can close the budget.
Okay. I move Gov's rec as amended.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Close Agency 10.
Motion to close Agency 10. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Agency 10 is closed. We're now on Agency 14, Miners Hospital.
Mr. Chairman, I think, is this just salary increases for the director and the assistant director? And these come out of miners' funds, so just refresh my memory.
Earmarked revenue.
Yes, Mr.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, it's moving them from AWEC employees to full-time employees, which means they would be eligible for the state's benefit package. All of this increase in salary and the benefit package would be covered by Miners Hospital revenue, not general funds. You would be reducing three AWACs, adding one full-time employee and two part-time employees.
Mr. Chairman.
Move Gov's rec.
Gov's rec.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh, okay.
Amend Gov's rec. Leave it as it is at this time. This is, again, continuing monies, and it can be handled on a standard budget.
Okay. Further discussion?
Hold on.
I got to have a second on that.
Second. For the committee, there was discussion, there was testimony in terms of someone being in that position and leaving, and we're getting back to trying to fill a vacant position and make that something attractive to be able to keep someone there. That's why it's before us right now and not again in a year. So I'm going to go with the governor's rack.
Your Representative Greer is pretty correct. The Gallup that testified really kind of took it on as a voluntary kind of thing, but in order to continue to maintain their services, they're going to have some personnel in that regard. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, I know the Miners Hospital having office in Sweetwater County and office in Gillette has had numerous issues in maintaining those offices and providing service for the miners. And with the when we established the board, this has been still a work in progress, so to speak, and the scope of what the Miners Hospital has done has increased dramatically, and certainly I know if any of the knocks you've ever heard about the Miners Hospital has been providing services, it's because they haven't been able to maintain those offices and administrative assistance, so to speak. So this is the ability to do that, and as it was stated, this isn't any new money. This is simply comes out of the fund for the Miners Hospital, which there is substantial, plenty to handle this. So it would be just to be consistent with providing services for the miners.
Okay. Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And in behalf of supporting this governor's recommendation fully funded, the workload of that board has grown over years, and that was the reason for the request. So having served on this board when I was in the House of Representatives years ago, you know, it has really changed. It used to be, actually, the Miners Hospital was only for Rock Springs and Green River miners. But, gosh, we had a lot of miners in Campbell County. I don't know how I ended up on that board. So in favor of this. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman?
All right, so the most, yes.
just a little bit explanation, and I'm curious. Who are we changing from at will to full-time? Is the executive director of the board, or has anything to do with the executive director of the hospital?
Mr. Chairman, has nothing to do with the hospital, Senator Burns. This is the Miners Hospital strictly operates. It's independent of any structure. And just to elaborate a little bit on Senator Wasserberger's comments, I'm sure he ended up on it because when the board was first, when we first implemented this in statute, there was a legislative oversight, and I'm sure that he was probably part of the legislative oversight being from Campbell County, Mr. Chairman. And this Miners Hospital has always served people in the state. It was housed in Rock Springs, thus providing strictly providing services only at the hospital in Rock Springs. When we developed and when the legislature developed the board, it then became more autonomous from any of the hospitals, and it just strictly they provide, they're not a hospital per se, they provide a benefit as per the Constitution. Wyoming Constitution provides services for minors, the unmet needs in those categories. And at the time the hospital was housed in Sweetwater Memorial, the amount of services was very limited. Now the scope has changed dramatically. They're providing, you know, hearing aids and many other support services for minors that, you know, that this is, you know, the executive director is the only paid position on the board. The rest of the board is voluntary. And then with her being the only paid position and the board being voluntary, these are executive, I'm going to call them executive assistants, that operate the offices in Campbell County and Sweetwater County. And the reason for those two locations is that is where the majority of miners are. But this is certainly people, miners statewide can call into either one of these offices, and now you can get services anywhere in the state and not just at one particular location. So, yes, Senator Wasserberger is correct, is that the amount of work for the Miners Hospital Board has increased dramatically.
Wasserberger. Why isn't there?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So clarification, the motion on the floor is Representative Burkhardt's to really
right.
Amend, deny the governor's rec.
Mr. Chairman, that's correct. Leaves the board as it is
as
today.
It is.
Right.
It doesn't eliminate any positions or anything else. It leaves it as is until the regular budget, and they can come back and request this change, because this will add $107,000 to our recurring state budget.
Mr. Chairman, I would speak against the motion simply. It doesn't come out of our bottom line. This is all out of – there's a trust fund set up for the Miners Hospital. It doesn't affect ours at all. And, Mr. Chairman, the hospital board, the Miners Hospital Board has been trying for years to do this, and because of some missteps looking at rules, wasn't able to get this done. They thought they had it done when we put the budget together, but found out later that they weren't able to do it in the mechanism that they attempted with the rule changes and things like that. LSO was involved quite a bit with that at the time. So they thought that they had it handled, and and that's why it, I mean, it did attempt to come before us, so to speak, in the original budget, but because of a misstep and not understanding the process by them is why it didn't pass this, that time. And so it is, but it doesn't affect, you know, it comes strictly out of their land trust account.
The motion, yes.
Yeah.
Representative Conley.
Mr. Chair, thank you. And on and against the motion to zero out, if I, looking back at my notes, that not only did they not know the process, and again, these women are ready to retire, and that it has basically been, not per se volunteer positions, but they were doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They're ready to retire, and that they're not able to compete in their marketplaces unless they move these from AWEC to basic executive, or not to full-time employees and part-time employees.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman.
Discussion. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, one other thing. I guess it bothers me somewhat that every time someone's going to retire, leave, we don't pay them enough money and want to increase their pay. Why don't we just do it for the whole state? We get every one of these agencies coming in with a unique request because they're having trouble filling positions and just want more money. All I'm asking is that we leave it as is till the standard budget.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if that accurately necessarily accurately depicts the request here. These are administrative assistants. You know, we're talking two different things here. We have an executive director of the board, and the board is voluntary. And, yes, there are some people looking to retire off there. What we're specifically talking here is the executive assistants, the ones that help run the day-to-day operation of the Miners Hospital Board, and that's the amount of work that's increased dramatically. At some point, the director will retire, but this is not reflective of a retirement. This is based on needs of sheer work volume and providing services to the miners. It's basically those they're trying to do here. I know in Sweetwater County, for example, that they have gone through several folks in that position. And, you know, this is just to add stability to that position, and this is something they did try and do, but it was a misstep. And I think sometimes there's confusion between, you know, who's paid on the board and what's voluntary and what is part of the providing operations for the board, Mr. Chairman.
Is there a question? Ready for the question?
Yes, question.
Question. All those in favor of the motion to amend the governor's rec down to the status quo, say aye. Opposed?
No.
That motion has failed. Gov's rec, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Gov's rec's been adopted. Motion to close. Move to close the section. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Section 14 has been closed. Is this a good place to stop? We'll come back, members of the committee. We'll pick up with Department 15, which is the Attorney General's Office, upon adjournment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm getting the hang of it now.
Oh, yeah.